I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear, eyes to see what your Holy Spirit is trying to do with me and to get through to me. Amen. I want to take you to John chapter 21. And since the Holy Spirit already tattled on me, Sam, your commitment to speak a little bit of a testimony at the beginning of the service is a quote from John 21. Okay? Verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, basically he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" So his what? His features had been what? Adjusted. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." Notice it's feed, then to take care of. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "The Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." The reason I'm taking you there is because I was led to a book that a friend of mine wrote years back. And he went through some incredible depression. I met him back in the early 90s. Today he is ministering out of South Carolina. And he goes all over the world. His name is Larry Randolph. When I met him, he was in the midst of a major depression. Well, you say, wait a minute, why are you talking about him? Because he had a message about performance. How many know you'd like to perform to make God happy? You'll know that you are fishing from the wrong side of the boat when the fulfillment of your destiny is tied to your performance. Peter knew how to fish. He had been fishing all night. He's been a kid. He's run a company. He knows how to fish. And they caught nothing. Yet when the Lord gave a word, they obeyed. Why? Because even if they had performed and wiped themselves out physically, because you see, they were in depression. They expected our Savior to become the next king. And he didn't do what they expected. He let himself be killed. Now, you say, why are you bringing this up? Because the Lord gave me a word about a week and a half ago, or maybe a little more. He said, these are the words that I heard. Religion will glorify man. Relationship will glorify God. Religion will lift up man. Relationship will bring man down and lift up Jesus. And when you lift up Jesus, God is lifted up. Amen? Amen. Now, the reason I did this is because I felt that it was important for us who have a habit of performance, because we were taught performance in religion. We were taught performance in our homes. Do good, get good. Do bad, get reprimand. I want to kind of have you listen to this, and I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. Like the other disciples in the boat, Peter was a skilled fisherman. He was a professional and had spent much of his early life casting a net into the Sea of Galilee. It is my guess that he had a knack for fishing, and he had learned certain techniques which produced positive results. He needed no one to instruct him in the art of catching fish or to tell him where to fish. Fishing was second nature. He could cast a net in his sleep. On this particular night, however, Peter's attempt at fishing produced nothing more than disappointment. Regardless of his confidence in his own ability, he was unable to lure one fish into his net. To make matters worse, Jesus seemed to kid him the next morning for his self-reliant attitude. Until this point of time, the disciples had been fishing from a performance mentality. Now, he was dependent upon the Lord to lead him to success. What were the underlying implications of this early morning encounter with the resurrected Christ? I believe Jesus was eager to show Peter that vanity of a self-reliant lifestyle. Because of the apostolic call that awaited this disciples, his confidence in self would have to be replaced by a total trust in God. If he were to lead the church into a spiritual reformation, then there could be no room in his future for performance. He had to trust that God's ability was at work in and through his life. When you look at the writings of Peter in the New Testament, it is obvious that the disciple had a dramatic shift in his life. In 1 Peter 1 and 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he declares himself an apostle, not by his own works, but by the foreknowledge of God and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. He was also able to say in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. In the coming revival, many of us will discover the limitations, characteristics of a performance mentality. We will find that it is not about our ability to perform, but about the finished work of the one who laid down his life so we could be free from false expectations and performance. This means we are no longer under the performance of the law, and we are free from its deadly curse. As stated in Galatians 3, verses 10 through 14, we are now justified by faith in Christ's performance. So whenever you and I are looking at ourselves and we go by how good we did yesterday or today or even tomorrow, it should be that we look at him and we look at how he performed. No flaws in his act. No disobedience in his act. Not by any performance of our own. According to Romans 11:6, if our righteousness comes by grace, then we can no longer lean on the performance of our own works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace or unmerited favor. To put it simply, there is going to be a catastrophic collapse of self-reliance in the near future. Every earthly thing we rely on will fail us. At the same time, a revival of trust in God will emerge. You heard a testimony tonight that said it gets better. It gets even better. It gets even better and better. That is a complete revival of trust. That's happened to one of our young ladies. Come on, you should be saying amen here.
Amen.
Yes? Okay. It will emerge, turning our focus from our ability to his ability. As with Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6, we will find that the success of our ministry is not by might or power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not by you and me and my good idea. My good idea will bring what? Fishing on the wrong side of the boat, getting discouraged, getting upset because God didn't perform it the way you wanted it.
Amen.
How do we make this quantum leap from a performance mentality to a trust in Christ? Self-seeking men cannot advance the kingdom of God until they are broken by the Lord's hand. They are of little benefit to his purpose in the earth. This makes perfect sense when you consider that it is the fracture in a vessel that reveals the treasure within, and the crushing of incense that allows the fragrance to flow out. How many of you have been crushed in the past few weeks and months? What is he doing? He's looking to get fragrance from what you've been going through. If you stop complaining. If, a circle around if, you stop being angry and set free whoever it is that's causing you the grief. And it might be yourself. Paul understood this paradox and stated in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that God's strength was made perfect in his own weaknesses.
Amen.
He continued this thought in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, with an S, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong.
Amen.
Obviously, Paul was not referring to poor stewardship of his physical body or to any moral weakness in his character. For the most part, his concern was centered on his inability to assist the work of God with performance and human genius. He was deeply aware of the futility in ministering in his own strength, and also wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I know this man and some of his brokenness, but I also know how he rose. Just like Peter was totally broken when he denied the Lord 3 times. That's why that whole commitment had to be done three times. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Just remember, out of his mouth came, I never knew him. I don't even come from Galilee, yet his accent gave him away. And everybody in the courtyard knew. What a liar that Jesus had for a helper. He was so willing to defend him and cut off the ear of the servant, and a few hours later, denied him. Now, what does that say about you and me? He was self-reliant. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to defend the Lord. He knew how to cut off the ear of the army man, or whatever you call him. Centurion, I believe it was. What I'm getting at is Peter had to be busted and wide open in order for him to make the commitment. You know everything about me. You know that I love you. That was a moment that it wasn't really me acting. How many of you have had a few moments that it wasn't really you acting? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Amen. Every single one of those times that those things happen to us, they are a perfect opportunity to say, God, I can't do this. It's just too big for me. Humbling yourself and saying, unless you direct me, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not talking about driving home. But you know, sometimes he may adjust you and say, don't go home on that road. Why? To prevent an accident. Or to leave you from getting into an accident. How many of you know there's kooks out there? There's crazy drivers everywhere. And if he directs you to take a different way home, obey. I'm giving you insight. Obey. You'll get the nudge on the inside. Don't go there. Turn left instead of right. It's as simple as obedience. When Peter obeyed and he said, okay, guys, we've been fishing all night. Because if you read the rest of it, they had a lot of his friends were with him. So it wasn't a one-man show. It wasn't a one-man healing either. Because I believe they all walked away from the Lord. Why? Because they had their minds made up, oh, we're going to get this if we follow him. But in reality, following him, they were following him to the cross. Their own crucifixion. What am I saying to us? You can declare the word with boldness that you are the righteousness of Christ. You can declare the words that you are holy because of what he did on that tree. But at the same time, you need to be able to adapt to the reality that you don't do anything on your own to the best of your ability.
Amen.
You ask him for guidance. Ask him, which side of the boat do I put the nets down on? Even if I've been working all night, totally pooped. Now what do you want, Lord? How do you want it done? To the best of my ability, I ask you, do it his way. Do it his way. When you do it his way, you know what you're going to get for fruit? It gets better. It gets better and better. It's not the end.
Amen.
Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
this word is to go inside my heart.
This word is to go inside my heart.
Confirm it to my heart.
Confirm it to my heart.
And then give me the direction.
And then give me the direction.
Of submission.
Of submission.
The way you want it done.
The way you want it done.
Because we're all different.
Because we're all different.
A general prayer will not do it.
A general prayer will not do it.
But a heart-to-heart prayer.
But a heart-to-heart prayer.
To you, Heavenly.
To you, Heavenly Father.
And to my Savior, Jesus.
And to my Savior, Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
Will fill in the blanks.
Will fill in the blanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, don't forget to share some hugs with each other.